This podcast is brought to you by Raycon. Take a screen break today with Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycons offer water and sweat resistant construction and seamless Bluetooth pairing. And with 6 hours of playtime, you can unplug for a while. Get 15% off at buyraycon.com/Howie. Buyraycon.com/Howie.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Chauvin is headed to jail, but is America headed to justice?
There are those who will seek to exploit the raw emotions of the moment, agitators and extremists who have no interest in social justice.
Thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life for justice.
It's not justice, and I'll explain to you why it's not justice.
True justice will not come until we finally banish the ancient poison of racism from the American soul.
Justice!
He's really laying it on thick, isn't he?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
There should not be any good cops and bad cops. Why is that a discussion? There should be cops. I mean, if we're going to have cops, there should be cops. We don't go in and say, oh, that's a good nurse. No, that's a bad nurse. Oh, that's a good pilot. Oh, that's a bad pilot. That's a good chef. That's a bad chef.
I'm sorry. You're speaking so fast. I'm not even hearing what you're saying.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. Derek Chauvin is in the prison, the state prison in Stillwater, Minnesota. He'll be there for 8 weeks until his sentencing before Judge Cahill. And he's on suicide watch right now. And the country was not burned down last night. The cities were not burned down. So that we have that to be thankful for. I'm not sure it was a verdict that was warranted by the facts. I mean, Derek Chauvin behaved badly. I think we can all agree, but there's still a question of how George Floyd died, and I don't think he was killed by the police. I mean, it seems pretty clear. But it was never going to be any different than the way it turned out. And I was really surprised yesterday to see Alan Dershowitz saying that he thought that perhaps Chauvin could win on appeal, even if it went to the Supreme Court. He said, of course, it's going to be appealed, but I just can't see it. You know, there's an old saying from Mr. Dooley more than 100 years ago, the Supreme Court follows the election returns and the Supreme Court follows the mobs in the streets for sure. And if they didn't have the stones to take on Texas v. Pennsylvania last November, they certainly don't have the stones to take on this case. So, you know, again, he's going to do time. I would assume the other three cops are trying to plea bargain right now with the authorities in Minnesota. Good luck with that. You know, the attorney general is an accused domestic abuser. Keith Ellison, used to be known as Keith X when he was in the Nation of Islam. But, you know, hey, we move along every day. Now they're pushing the Green New Deal today. Tomorrow it'll be statehood for D.C. Every day is a new assault on the tenets of the American Republic, society, the economy. And then in the case of D.C. statehood, it's probably unconstitutional as well. But we'll get to all of that as we go through it. You know what happened late during our show yesterday? Police in Columbus, Ohio, the capital city, shot a 15-year-old girl who was attempting to stab, according to the body cam video, attempting to stab another girl. And and so, of course, it looked like that could be the match to another series of riots. But the authorities in Columbus move very fast. Usually it takes days, if not weeks, to get the body cam footage. They got it out there instantaneously. And if you freeze frame it, you see the woman had the girl had a knife in her hand. She was raising it over another kid who was by the car. I mean, I don't know what the cops could have done. It was horrible. And Kathy Griffin was saying, well, you know, these are kids. They're knife fights in the neighborhood. And as I just told Grace, I've seen one knife fight in my life, and I was walking home from the State House, not home, but back to the Herald from the State House after a long budget night on a Saturday night, and these two hoodie type guys, came flying out of one of the bars on the edge of the combat zone on Essex Street, and one of them had a knife. And I said to myself immediately, I don't think I'm going to be parking the car at the Herald and walking to the State House anymore. I'll park in a garage if I have to. And when they say a knife fight, that's Hollywood stuff. A knife fight usually involves a stabbing. Somebody's got a knife and somebody else is going to get stabbed. That's what it is. And that's what was happening here. And, I just like the way it's being portrayed here. Kathy Griffin. Yes, one of them has a knife. Oh, that never happened in your school or neighborhood? Well, I saw one, but no, it didn't. And then here's the headline from Fox. Ohio police officer fatally shoots teenage girl who appears to hold a knife during fight, video shows. Appears? Are you kidding me? It's more than appears to me. But of course, as we all recall from the campaign, Joe Biden has an interesting theory about what people who have knives really are. Cut in the eight.
And the idea that instead of standing there and teaching a cop who is an unarmed person of coming at him with a knife or something to shoot him in the leg instead of in the heart is a very different thing.
They shouldn't fatally shoot people, unarmed people with knives. Now, here's Brian Williams from MSNBC. He busted for multiple fabrications, not even plagiarism, making stuff up. And so Brian Williams is now an expert in police response. And he hasn't looked at, how can he have looked at the videotape and just said something this stupid? Cut 11.
There was no attempt to use pepper spray or a taser, non-lethal force. While a knife can be seen in the footage before the officer fires his weapon, he indeed fired his weapon. Police performed CPR on the scene, but the girl was pronounced dead at the hospital.
Well, a knife can be seen. The knife is in her hand. What was the guy supposed to do? What was the cop supposed to do?
Howie, I guess the police chief in Columbus was just asked by a journalist, why didn't the officer shoot for the leg?
You're kidding.
Yeah.
And is finished.
Chief, one of the big questions that has been asked primarily on social media, and it may seem like a silly question that, like, shouldn't people already know, but this is a legitimate question that a lot of people are asking, is can an officer shoot the leg? Can they shoot somewhere that would not result in a fatal wound, right? So a lot of people have said, couldn't he have just shot her in the leg so she dropped? Couldn't he have shot her in the arm, something like that?
Right, you know, one of the difficult things with that is when you're trying, we don't train to shoot the leg because that's a small target. We train to shoot center mass. What is available to stop that threat? There was a threat going on, a deadly force threat that was going on, so the officer is trained to shoot center mass, the largest part of a body that is available to them. When you try to start shooting legs or arms, rounds miss, and then they continue on, and there are people behind that could be in danger that are not committing anything. So we try and minimize any danger to anyone else if we have to use our firearm.
He handled that question very well, I think. I think most people's heads would have exploded if they'd been asked that question. It's a question being asked by very stupid people. Meanwhile, there was a police shooting in Worcester overnight. It looks like it was suicide by cop. Man shot and killed by Worcester police identified. He claimed to have a bomb. His name is Fet Guvanvong. 31. He told police he was carrying a rifle and a bomb. He was threatening to detonate the device, and he ended up getting shot and killed. And now it's being reported in the Springfield paper anyway that he didn't really. He was faking it. But I mean, again, how did the cops know? How were the cops supposed to know that and he had a rifle anyway? So. He had what appeared, this is what the DA, Joe Early, said, or Junior. He had what appeared to be an assault weapon, body armor, a backpack, and an explosive device, as well as other wires and different things about his person. So at the White House today, the press secretary, Jen Psaki, was asked about the shooting in Columbus, Ohio. And the person had a name, Micaiah, with some apostrophes in there too, Micaiah Bryant. And so Psaki couldn't get the name right. You can't really blame her, but here it is, cut 16.
The killing of 16-year-old Micaiah Bryant by the Columbus police is tragic. She was a child. We're thinking of her friends and family and the communities that are hurting and grieving her loss. We know that police violence disproportionately impacts Black and Latino people and communities, and that Black women and girls, like Black men and boys, experience higher rates of police violence. We also know that there are particular vulnerabilities that children in foster care like Micaiah face.
Police violence. What if the police officer in Columbus hadn't fired, there would have been a stabbed young Black girl by Micaiah, as Jen calls her. Police violence. Is there going to be a statement for Peyton Ham, the white kid who was killed in the suburbs of Maryland by the white Maryland state trooper? No, I didn't think so. But there's another one here in Pasquotank County, North Carolina. That's on the East Coast. North Carolina police fatally shoot Andrew Brown during search. Like, everybody's heard of Andrew Brown. They had a search warrant. It's not a search. They had a search warrant. So this is where we are in America right now. Derek Chauvin, and I'm not saying it was a bad verdict. It was maybe too harsh, but he needed to do some time, most likely. I'll say that. I can't disagree with the jury, but he's going to prison for most of the rest of his life. And the guy at the Capitol cop who shot Ashley Babbitt, he's not even being named. Does Ashley Babbitt get any justice? Say her name. All right. 844-500-4242. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you are missing out on a really, really great product. You take two of these a day. They're candy. They're wrapped in foil, just like a little candy. They taste sweet and good, like candy, but they're good for you. They're not bad for you. They're great for your heart health. They're great for your blood pressure. They're great for your circulation. You take two a day, one in the morning when you get up, and then one in the middle of the day when you start to fade a little bit. I take one as the show's beginning, so to keep me going for the entire 4 hours. They're great. You're going to love Super Beats Chews because they taste good and they give you a boost of energy. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grape seed extract. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just two delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. It's, again, you may not notice it, but I'm certainly going to notice it when I take it and chew it.
You definitely notice it, Howie, when you haven't taken your Super Beats in a while. You just don't feel the same. You're a little weaker, a little more prone to getting tired easier. But when you're back on the Super Beats, it's a big, big difference.
Yeah. Do what I did and do what Taylor did. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Chews. Get Super Beats Chews today at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third one for free. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Show.
The trustees have a few suggestions they would like to submit to you.
I think you know what the trustees can do with their suggestions.
The Howie Carr Show is back.
It's Howie Carr's cheap bastard deal.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds too good to be true.
Oh, no, it's real, and it's a steal.
You know there's plenty more when you shop at Howie's store for another Howie Carr cheap bastard deal.
Howie Carr.
the cheapest bastard around.
This cheap bastard deal is going to move extremely quickly, so get on board now. This is from Old New England Soap. This is a Mother's Day gift set. Old New England Soap has been on before. They have a fantastic product, and it's not factory made at all. The Mother's Day special includes honeysuckle, wood wick soy candle, lavender and citrus lip balm, lavender bath bomb, honeysuckle solid perfume, honeysuckle and oatmeal goat milk soap, lavender goat milk soap, and a gift box. While supplies last, here at thehowiecarshow.com, click on store. You can order a Mother's Day gift box set from Old New England Soap. This is a $53 value for just $26.50. This is a hell of a deal. So get on board now and get your Mother's Day shopping out of the way early. With us now is Dave from Old New England Soap to tell us more about today's cheap bastard deal. Dave, thanks for being with us.
Welcome back to New England, buddy.
Well, not quite yet, but it'll be bad. It'll be soon enough. You're in New Hampshire, right, Dave?
Yeah, we're right in Wilkesboro, New Hampshire, and it's pretty cold and dreary here today. It's about 50 degrees and rainy. So bring some sunshine back with you, would you please?
I will. Yeah, your candles are great because we've talked about this before, but they're handmade. So, you know, the commercial candles, sometimes people get to feeling stuffy and they even begin to get headaches. But you don't have to ever worry about that with Old New England Soap, do you?
No, you don't, Howie, because none of our candles have any chemicals at all. We don't use a metal insert in our wick. That's a lot of companies do that. That's to make the wick burn a little longer. But the fumes from that metal wick can give you a headache. We don't do that. There are no chemicals, no preservatives, nothing artificial. There's not even any dye in my candle. So there's nothing to upset your breathing, your sensitivity in your nasal, or anything like that. This is, I've heard from so many people that say they love burning my candles because it doesn't cause any ill effects at all. Plus, they burn up to 100 hours, and because it's a wood wick, cotton wick combination, they burn very, very long, they burn very cleanly, and they burn evenly all the way through. And they smell great from the first time you light them, Howie, to the end of the candle, and there's no waste whatsoever. It's the best candle on the market, in my opinion. We've sold a bunch of them.
Yeah, and you got the soaps too. You got two different kinds of soap. I'm a big fan of lavender soap, lavender goat milk soap, honeysuckle and oatmeal soap. And this is in a nice gift box. So it's mom or whoever is really going to appreciate this when she gets it. And it's a hell of a buy, isn't it?
It's a steal. This is one of the biggest gift sets we've offered. The $26.50. That's about my cost. Normally they're $53. You get the lavender and citrus lip balm, as you mentioned. The bath bombs are great. I put my bride in the bath with one of those, and she just can't get enough of that. So anybody that has a mom, an aunt, a grandmother, or anybody that you love for Mother's Day, this is probably the best gift that she could ever want, and she won't expect it either because it's very thoughtful.
Yeah. How did you know my audience very well, listening up there in the Lakes region?
The mailroom manager wants one of these too, so I'm just giving you a heads up.
Okay, we'll have to move fast because I know these are going to go like hotcakes, as they say. But they always have, and you know, people have been so happy with them too. And everybody who's ever bought them and has talked about it with us, any of us, the mailroom manager Grace Taylor has always said how happy they were with Old New England Soap.
Oh, I love the cowboy soap is my favorite.
Oh, that's a good one, Taylor. Does that matter, Taylor?
That's Taylor.
Yeah, that's Taylor.
Oh, that's Taylor, yeah. I get you guys confused. No, that's a really good one, Taylor. All of the soaps are great. Online, if you choose to go there, we do have some other soaps available, including our new pooch soap that's great for dogs, to keep your dog from itching and scratching after you give it a bath. And, of course, we have a wonderful poison ivy soap. It doesn't give you poison ivy, but it gets rid of it in case you get any on your hands when you're working in the garden this spring.
So you don't need an ocean of calamine lotion, as the coasters used to say.
You don't need that. You ever use that stuff? Boy, that's nasty.
No, I've seen it, but I never had the need for it, fortunately. But
you're very fortunate.
OldNewEnglandSoap.com, that's where you go to check out all of these great products after the cheap bastard deal is over. But it's old with an E, correct, Dave?
Yes, online you can just do oldnesoap.com or oldnewenglandsoap.com. Either way, that'll get you to our website, Howie.
Okay, you know, you can go OLD or OLDE. That's what I always worry about, so that E. You know?
Either way, working, and we're going to make sure it gets to mom just in time for Mother's Day.
Okay, they're going to go fast. $53 deal for $26.50 from Old New England Soap. HowieCarshow.com. Click on store.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Goldco. We're all facing a global pandemic, U.S. debt piling up, and a looming Biden tax plan, all set to wreak havoc on our retirement savings. Visit goldco.com/Howie Carr to learn how you can protect your money. It's certainly necessary to protect your money right now. goldco.com/Howie Carr. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Can Derek Chauvin win an appeal of his conviction?
Alan Dershowitz suggested that maybe he could. I'm going to say no.
52% say no.
Oh, it's close.
And okay. We are sold out of the Old New England Soap Mother's Day gift set.
Sold out. Okay, that went very fast. But if you couldn't get one, if you go to oldnewenglandsoap.com or oldnysoap.com, you can still purchase the gift set there and browse their many products and get free shipping on any orders over $45. That's oldnewenglandsoap.com. It's a really great company, and they make great products, and we all swear by them. Oldnewenglandsoap.com. Time now for Grace's News.
Hello, Howard. So you are reading the tweets about the knife fight, and I just wanted to let you know that there was another tweet by Ben Crump, who's a civil rights attorney. He was involved in the George Floyd case. And this is what he wrote. He said, as we breathed a collective sigh of relief today, a community in Columbus felt the sting of another police shooting as Columbus police killed an unarmed 15-year-old black girl
unarmed
named Micaiah Bryant. Another child lost, another hashtag. Now, there's several layers to this story because you want to know something amazing, Howie.
What?
Don't let this destroy your faith in the integrity of the gray lady, okay? But they wrote a piece on this. And they edited his tweet to say this. As we breathed a collective sigh of relief today, a community in Columbus felt the sting of another police shooting. Another child lost, another hashtag. So following online criticism, the Times updated the piece to state, in the tweet sent before the footage was released, Mr. Crump incorrectly described her as unarmed. So there's just so many layers of deception here.
At what point does the New York Times apologize? Somebody wrote a column about that. They, after these massive mistakes about the bounties that the Russians were putting out, blaming, said Trump knew about them. There weren't any bounties, and now they made up the whole story about Sicknick being first beaten to death with a fire extinguisher, and then his fatal heart attack or stroke was caused by being sprayed with bear spray by Trump people. All lies. And then they come right out of the box, two huge whoppers in 1 week, and they come out of the box editing something to make the guy look like less of a fool.
Exactly. And then people wonder, why isn't he taking down the tweet, or why doesn't he issue a correction? It's like, well, if the New York Times is parroting what he said and they don't feel the need to issue a correction, then why should he?
You know, the other thing, too, is some people are saying, well, you know, it's just a knife. Just a knife. I mean, what is the? Where did she buy this knife? Did she buy it at the Columbus, Ohio equivalent of Jack's Joke Shop? Is it one of those rubber knives you take to a Halloween party? I don't think so. It didn't look like one of those. Looked like a pretty nasty knife to me.
Well, Howie, I think it kind of goes back to what you used to say about carjackings or robberies. Is
right.
You know, oh, it's a minor crime. It's not a minor crime when it happens to you.
A burglary. Same with a burglary.
It might be just a knife, but if someone's waving one in your face, it quickly becomes a dangerous weapon.
Right. And I repeat what I said earlier. There are no such thing, or there are very few things as knife fights. Usually there's one knife and two people. And one person has a knife and the other person has a lot of holes in them. Unless there's a cop, thank God.
Do they take turns? Do they switch off?
Not again. I've only seen one in my life, Taylor, and I didn't want to ever see another one. And here, all these years later, I still remember it like it was yesterday. It was some bucket of blood on Essex Street, right around the corner from the beginning, on the edge of the combat zone, I guess you could say.
I think one of the craziest things, just because we're still on this topic about people reacting to this, was the ACLU. They wrote, "The systems that allowed George Floyd to be murdered remained fully intact. Moments after we celebrated a win for police accountability in Minneapolis, news broke that Columbus police murdered a 15-year-old black
murdered.
Girl." Murdered? Yeah, murdered.
The ACLU said that? Murdered?
Yeah. Yes, it's the ACLU. It's the one in Ohio specifically, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's that branch, but yeah. Isn't that crazy? And nobody cares. I know you already read the Kathy Griffin one, but and then here's another one, Howie, from another grassroots activist, blue check mark on Twitter. This one seemed to be getting a lot of play. Teenagers have been having fights, including fights involving knives, for eons. We do not.
You're a jet all the way from.
We do not need police to address these situations by showing up to the scene and using a weapon against one of the teenagers. Y'all need help. I mean that sincerely.
So let's say, okay, he pulled back and didn't shoot her.
Right.
And she had come down with the knife and killed the other woman. Would they have said, you didn't protect a black teenager from being stabbed? Because that's systemic racism. I mean, was there any way the guy could win? We talked about this before, but, you know, cops are in lose-lose situations here. Whatever he did was going to be wrong, and he's going to be criticized by nitwits like Brian Williams and Kathy Griffin.
No, you're absolutely right, Howie, and it makes you kind of wonder how long are we going to go until people just start saying, I'm not going to be a cop. I don't want to be. I mean, if you had a young son who wanted to be a police officer right now, I wouldn't encourage it. And I hate saying that because it's a very honorable profession. But it's not something that I envy people who have that responsibility, because you're under a microscope. No one has your back. And it's very dangerous.
Yeah. And you know, and again, this guy that was shot in Pasquotank County, North Carolina today, he's already like a household word in the New York Post. Andrew Brown is his name. They had a search warrant for his house. Do you think they had a search warrant because they didn't have a good reason to be going into his house? You know, and the guy today in Worcester. I mean, when is the, you know, it's only a matter of time, Grace, until someone's going to say, shouldn't the police have known that the bomb he was carrying was a fake bomb?
Well, one thing I thought was kind of crazy, and it's almost as if we're watching how far the media will go with this, because the mother of Micaiah Bryant was on camera saying that she's a very motherly person and she's very peaceful by nature, and all of these words that I'm thinking, I just watched a video of her running out of the house with a massive knife.
Right.
And the media just, you know, nods along, you know, they don't, no pushback on that.
And she's in foster care, so obviously there was some sort of dysfunction in her family. I don't know whose dysfunction it was, but it was not a Ozzie and Harriet household, okay? She's in foster care.
Howie, I thought there was one person, and then I'm going to move on from this story because I want to go back to the New York Times here, unfortunately, for a minute. But I thought one person put this really well. Their name was Zaid Jalani, and they wrote, "The Micaiah Bryant case is an encapsulation of the media and political classes' pathologies. Had she simply stabbed the other girl to death, it would never have been a national news story. Activists wouldn't have complained. Grieving family members would have been ignored." I thought that's really true. I see stories every single day about, like, this week a 7-year-old was shot, I think, in Chicago. There's so many stories like that.
Drive-through waiting for a McDonald's.
And they don't get more than a quick glance and a move along. It's really despicable. And I think the media is just exposing themselves yet again. But you asked, Howie, at the New York Times if they're ever going to apologize. And I just wanted to let you know that they have bigger fish to fry, okay? New York Times journalists want the company to bring in gender-neutral bathrooms.
And to retroactively
revise the bylines of transgender journalists who have changed their names.
Right. I read that, yes. They are balking at having gender-neutral bathrooms on every floor. And then they want, so let's say somebody, like that guy Don McNeil, not that he's doing this, but he was a reporter before he got fired for using the N-word. He was a reporter for 40 years. So if he wanted to change his gender, his sex. He wanted to go trans. The union at the New York Times wants the Times to go back into the database and change his byline on every one of the thousands of stories that he wrote over the last 30, 40 years.
It's so insane. I mean,
and the New York Times responded, we believe if we did that, it would be fraught. That was the word, fraught with problems. And the union responded, well, it's fraught with problems if you don't recognize the reality of these people's existence.
I read a lot of pieces over this last year and about transgender rights and things like that. And one story, there was a woman and she was talking about how because she hasn't had to go out to restaurants and correct people on her pronouns, she has lost her sense of identity because her whole identity was telling people that they were calling her by the wrong pronoun. And I thought, how sad is that?
Hey, here's a quarter. Call Dr. Fauci. It's not my problem. I didn't do it to you.
Well, it's also interesting about the bylines, Hallie, because I know you're a guy, so you've never had to do this. But I always think about when women change their names when they get married, and a lot of people keep their professional names because it's easier for people to find your past work, and they can just do a quick Google search and everything comes up. And I'm thinking, how hard would it be for someone to find your name if it was a whole different name, like it was a whole different gender, and you said, oh, I read a piece once by so-and-so, and then the entire bylines changed?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many problems that it would create. And you just know that once you open the door, and again, this is something when the NRA says the reason we're opposed to gun control legislation is because once you open the door, they keep asking for more. But obviously, the bylines would just be the beginning of what they'd be asking for. And I can't, and you know, I'm not even capable with my small imagination of figuring out what they would want next, but it would be something even more outrageous, wouldn't it?
Yes, and Howie, that makes me think of this morning my dad sent me a text and we were just talking about all of the craziness going on right now, and he said, one thing I can tell for certain is that this appeasement is not working. Like, we keep trying to make the radical left happy and nothing is doing the trick. They just want more and more and more, and they're just getting crazier and crazier. By the way, Howie, I know a lot of times you talk about how the coronavirus is really perceptive. Like, it knows what time of night to come out. It knows if you've been sitting for too long in a restaurant.
Everything is negotiable, too. Yes. Everything is negotiable.
Well, I have a perfect example of that. Are you ready for how smart this virus is?
Yes.
Celebrities will not have to wear masks at the Oscars while the cameras are on, but they will need to wear them during commercial breaks.
Yeah, I saw that story, Grace, and you know what I was wondering? If I should decide, which I won't, to watch it at home,
yes,
do I have to wear a mask while I'm watching it from my couch at home?
Only during the break.
I think if you want to show solidarity with Tom Hanks and the other beautiful people, you would wear your mask. And maybe take a picture of yourself wearing it so people know. Post it online. But I love the comments beneath this. People said, I can't wait to not watch this show. And another person said, smartest virus ever. It knows it can only attack during the commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Monday headline, Oscar ratings lowest yet. Semicolon. Virus blamed. Viewers flee virus threat.
Another person says, wow, that's so polite of the virus to give them immunity while on camera. Yeah, I think a standing headline is going to be, you know, lowest ratings ever.
I think the virus should win an Oscar. Best supporting virus.
You know, the motion picture industry has been around in one form or another for, 120 plus years? And the virus has almost destroyed it single-handedly, except for Godzilla, King Kong.
Yeah, but these award shows, I have to say, I know they always blame the coronavirus, but, you know, they got to give themselves some credit, too. They are pretty insufferable no matter what.
They are. They are. All right, Grace, thank you very much.
Thanks, Howard.
Good job with the reading the Karens today, and we'll come back with some more of that a little bit later in the show.
Howie, I think people are really missing Masterpiece Theater because I got a lot of a pouring of support over that.
I've got some more Masterpiece Theater in the works. Do you want to talk about the woman on Martha's Vineyard whose life was extremely distraught because the gay porn movies were shot in her house and she didn't know it?
Oh, wait, I remember that.
I have like 40, 50 pages of public depositions.
Did you get
that
the
she's
scripts
given.
To these movies?
I've got the I have the script of her responses.
Wait, was this pre-COVID?
Yes, it was pre-COVID, but now the case is finally coming to trial, and we finally got all the all of her depositions and exhibits.
Hey, Howie, you know what's funny? My parents rent out a beach house every summer, and they rented to different people. And one year when we weren't there, these people held a wedding at our house, and they like got married at our house and had their family. And our neighbors were calling us, and they're like, "Who's getting married?" And my parents were like, "What? Huh?" And we felt like that was a little weird that they didn't give us a heads up, let alone if someone's shooting a porn in your house.
Well, I'll start looking around. I may do a column in the next couple of days about it. I'll start looking around for some stuff that you could do.
Good. Golly gee, I'm so excited.
You asked for it, Grace. I'm looking. I'm scouting. I'm looking for scripts.
No, very
I'm
true.
Your producer here. All right. Okay.
Thanks,
we'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
He doesn't do this just for the money.
It's also my pleasure to see to it that decent, hardworking people in this community aren't robbed blind by a pack of money-mad pirates just because they haven't anybody to look after their interests.
Howie Carr, we'll be right back. Got hate mail?
You bloated idiot! You stupid fat head, you!
Send it to Grace at HowieCarShow.com.
844-500-4242. 251 asks, the real question is, how did that woman find out about the gay porno being filmed in her house? She says she was told about it by an acquaintance, but I guess what really embarrasses her is she had devoted a lot of time and attention and probably money to the artwork in the house, and the producers of the gay porn didn't bother to take down any of the pictures, so it's pretty easy to tell, I guess, she says, that it's in her house. And she says she's really embarrassed when she goes to the supermarket on Martha's Vineyard or something. The story got out a few years ago, and now it's finally coming to trial, and I keep asking myself, I understand she's embarrassed, and I don't blame her. And, it looks like they did not tell her what they were doing with the house. But is this really a bad thing to have happened to your house on Martha's Vineyard? Or is this a status enhancer? You know, I mean, this, after all, is the home of Barack Hussein Obama. This is the home of John Forbes Kerry, the climate czar. Not to mention all the other tens of thousands of beautiful people who are certainly not opposed to gay pornography, are they? I rather doubt it. I mean, if anything, this should make her house more valuable for future rental engagements. I remember when I rented the party cottage that Ted Kennedy rented at Chappaquiddick for the 25th anniversary of Chappaquiddick, and we did a show from there, the whole show from the cottage. And the guy that owned the cottage was so happy afterwards. He came up to me and said, "Man, I'm getting all kinds of offers now. I'm going to be able to make so much more money. You know, I want to do something for you. Is there anything here you want to take with you?" I said, yeah, thanks for asking. As a matter of fact, I got my eyes on that ice bucket there. So I got the ugliest ice bucket in the world. I'm sure it was brought to the house after Ted Kennedy, but it seemed appropriate. I wonder where that ice bucket is now. I'm Howie Carr.